Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." You know, that makes you think, you know, Romans 9:10. You know, it's amazing. I always thought that everybody, you know, believes that, you know, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're going to be saved. As it says here in 8, verse 8 there in 10:8, it says, "But what saith? The word is near ye, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith with which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know, it always amazes me, you know, people always believe, well, you know, if I believe in my heart and confess, you know, I can be saved. And it's very true. But people have a problem, though, sometimes, I think, when it comes to when they need their healing or need something other, they struggle with it. But as we're going to see, it's a spiritual law about believing and confessing. Matter of fact, back there, considering about being saved and being healed, in Matthew 9:5-6, you know, Jesus, when he had healed the leper there, or the lame man, he says, "Which is easier, to say, rise up and walk, or sins being forgiven?" Because, you know, the Jews, they were furious that he would say that he could, you know, forgive sins. But they seen the miracles. They couldn't deny that he saved or made this lame man walk. But I always thought that, you know, I always turned to that, especially when I need healing. It's like, yeah, just as I can be saved, he can heal me just as same. It's if I could just believe it and speak it out and believe it, get it down in my spirit and release my faith that way. So we're going to see that it is a spiritual law about how we believe and speak. You know, we all know Mark 11:20-23. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever saith in this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he can have whatever he says. Therefore, when you stand praying, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it." In Matthew 17:20, it also says, well, I'm going to turn there. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew in 17, the disciples came to Jesus there and said, "Why can we not cast him out?" You know, they're trying to get this demon out of this guy. Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So we see, you know, that when we believe and speak the word, it's a spiritual law. And it works whether you're, as a matter of fact, you know, just like we see there in Mark 11:23, says, "Whosoever." It doesn't say the Christian. It doesn't say if you have an extreme amount of faith. It says, "Whosoever shall say in this mountain." You don't even have to be saved for this spiritual law to work in your life. I mean, I remember long before I knew anything about faith, or really wasn't even in church, you might say, at all. You know, went to church a few times, you know, parents took me, but before I was really a believer, I would always speak that I was not going to lose my hair. Because if you've seen people in my family, the male people in my family, they lost their hair at a very young age. You know, my grandpa was bald, my dad, my brother started balding early. But, you know, I spoke, I said, Lord, you know, and that's a funny thing too, you know. I wasn't a believer, wasn't saved, but I'm speaking to God, you know. But I said, I'm going to keep my hair. You can make it as gray as you want, but just let me keep my hair. So, which I've kept my hair fairly good. My forehead's a little bit bigger, but if you knew my family lineage, you know, you'd see that I have the most hair of any fry that's ever lived. So, I've had that spoke to me or said to me too before, but especially when I had the long hair down to here, you know. So, but also. And this was brought up to me. Jessica actually heard this. I didn't hear it. I had to ask her again, so I get a little bit more firsthand. But Brother Copeland, you know, he has a nice, dark, full head of hair. And I'm like, well, yeah, because he dyes it, you know, no big deal. You know, Brother Hagin, I mean, I know he dyes his hair, what little hair he does have left. But no, Brother Copeland, his hair started to gray a little bit. And the Lord told him, you know, to go to renew my youth, you know, on that scripture and that. And he started quoting it, and gray went away, and he does not dye his hair, believe it or not.
Well, he speaks to his hair.
He speaks
hair,
to
hair, be brown.
Yes. So this stuff works, guys. It works. It's a spiritual law of believing and speaking. Matthew 18:13, you know, where we see where the centurion, do I have the right? No, Matthew 8:13, yeah, Matthew 8. Say, so that didn't look right. So we see, you know, as you believe, he says there in, well, I guess we can back up there. I know you know the story there probably, but he's got a servant that's grievously tormented. He's homesick with a palsy there in chapter or verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. And another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And let's go to just verse 13. It says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so it be done unto you. I mean, he understood. There, you mean, all you got to do is speak the word, Jesus, because, you know, you have the ability. I speak to my servants, and they do what I say. So it's going to work, like I say, whether you're a believer, not a believer, whatever you speak, whatever you sow. You know, in Galatians 6:7 says, God's not mocked, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And that's what it works in this way, too. Let's look at Exodus. Here's a good example, too. Exodus chapter 13. Or no, not Exodus. Let's go to Numbers. Talks about in Exodus, the Lord said he's going to show them and give them the land and that flows with milk and honey. But if we look in Numbers 13:17, it's where they're sending the spies into the land there. We spoke about this not too long ago. I think Pastor mentioned this too. But Moses sent them to return spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up to this way southward and go into this mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, and whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that you dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it's tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And be ye of a good courage, and bring the fruit of the land, And now it was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they searched the land. So let's skip on down here to 25 where they're returning. They returned from the searching the land after 40 days. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And they went through and talked about all the ites. And in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search, it is a land that eats up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the same sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Well, they get this bad report. You know, only Caleb said, hey, we're well able to do this. You know, God said, you know, I'm going to give you this land, go up and possess it. But only him and Caleb and, excuse me, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that came back with a good report and said that we can take it. You know, they started whining there in 14:1. All the congregation lifted up the voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we have died in the wilderness? What happened to them, guys? They died in the wilderness, didn't they? They got what they said. But if we look over here, 14:8, it says, if the Lord delight in us, well, let's go start in 6. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Well, as you know, Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two in their generation to enter into the promised land. And the Israelites, they wanted to, thought to die in the wilderness. That's exactly what happened. They both, each one of them, the ones with the good report and ones the bad report, got exactly what they said. You know, Jesus, while he was here on earth, he operated in the faith principles that we see there in Mark 11:23 and there in Matthew 17:20. You know, he spoke to the wind and the sea, and it calmed. He spoke to the fig tree, it dried up and withered. He spoke to the demons, and they fled. He even spoke to dead men, and they rose. He operated in the God kind of faith, believing and speaking. Jesus, he was imitating his Father. He was getting the same results as his Father. You know, in Ephesians 5:1, it literally tells us that we are to be imitators of God as dear children, just as children imitate their parents. So kids out there, you know, if you're going to imitate your parents, you're going to, you know, you're going to start acting like them, walking like them, talking like them, right? And that's exactly what we should do with our Father God. You might say, well, that was Jesus operating in that. You know, of course he can do that because he's God. But in John 14:12, this is what Jesus said. He says, those who believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works will he do. Because, you know, I'm about to scoop, get on out of here. Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, and I will give you the keys of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Psalms 119:89 says, Tell us forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know what God said? It's already established. Now it's going to be up to us. What are we going to say about it? You know, God's not going to alter what he's already said. Psalms 89:34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So we got to ask ourselves, whose word are we going to establish here on earth? What words are coming out of our lips? Are you speaking words of faith? Are you speaking what the media is telling you? Which, you know, we know is a bunch of garbage. Which is untruth. We should be speaking the truth. Proverbs 8:7 says, for my mouth shall speak truth. And that's what should be coming out of our lips all the time. No matter what, we should be looking at the circumstances or whatever the world system is telling us, we should be speaking and saying what God says. Saying the same thing of what he says, because they're like in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. You know, that word profession is translated everywhere else as confession. You know, what you're saying. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, if you study that out in the Greek, it literally talks about that profession is saying the same thing. We should be saying the same thing as what God says about the situation. We should be saying the same thing as what the Word says, because that's where that is the truth, and that's what should be coming out of our lips. Saying what God says, saying what the Word says, and God is faithful to His Word. His Word does not come away void. So, you know, there in Isaiah talks about 55:8-11, it says that his word will not return void, but it's going to accomplish and prosper wherever it's sent. And then when we speak God's words out of our mouth, it's going to accomplish what it's sent forth to. It's going to prosper in where we speak it. You know, and it sometimes it doesn't happen suddenly. You know, we love the suddenlies. You know, and it does happen. You know, I've had the suddenlies, you know, instant healing. Instant things that happen, but sometimes, you know, it just takes a while. There's some things that I believed for that took years before it came to pass. But during that time, you just still got to believe, and you still got to speak. It's just like licking that lollipop. It takes several licks to get to that center, and you know, and sometimes we just got to keep speaking and believing and speaking that word. Just believing and speaking, not looking at the circumstances, looking at what's going around. Don't worry about the time frame, because, you know, God's time is not our timing. I found that out. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. So I want to give you just a few things here. Three things that happen when we're speaking the word and saying what God says about the situation. Number one, it builds up your faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, sometimes we just got to speak the word until it gets out of this noggin up here, gets out of the just mental descent and head knowledge and down and drops down into our spirit. Because, you know, we can say, you know, we've all said lots of things that we don't really mean. And then also when we speak the word and we're reading the word, there's just something about when you speak it out yourself, it seems to happen more quickly to get down in your spirit than just, you know, like listen to me tonight about it. You need to speak it yourself. It kind of goes along. I mean, you're really building up, as we can relate to, is like building up your confidence. We got people in here I know like sports. Yeah, I got one right over there sitting me. I love sports, too, and I did sports when I was a kid. And, you know, we might think, you know, we look at some of the athletes and we think, oh, they're arrogant, you know, because the way they talk about I just lost my, there we go.
I know, back in my day,
and I know, remember Muhammad Ali, some of the younger people, but old Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, and he was quite the talker. You know, he's always saying, I'm the greatest there ever been. You know, and he float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, you know. But, you know, he's speaking confidence. And really, if you study back and if you knew him, he probably was one of the greatest boxers. He definitely was at his time one of the greatest boxers. And but athletes, you know, do that all the time. You got to psych yourself up. I know I went to watch my grandson run a triathlon here a while back, and he was talking kind of like, well, you know, I'm not going to win this race because, you know, this guy here, he's the greatest. You know, he's the best in the whole state and so forth. I just want to, you know, at least finish in the top five. So, you know, I think they were taking the top five. They could qualify to go to nationals. And I'm thinking, well, you've done defeated yourself. You know, if you're not saying, yeah, I'm going to win this race or I'm going to be, you know, you got to go in with confidence built up that you're going to be a winner. You know, when I was in track, I was a 7th through 12th, I was a pole vaulter. You know, started my junior high, I did pole vaulting was my main event. And it wasn't until like my senior year, they were taking the, this was during practice, and they was trying to get a mile relay team built up, and they was going to take some times for the guys. And I'm over there with the other guy that's a pole vaulter, and I'm looking over there, and I'm seeing all the real big-time jocks. I mean, really, they're the guys that, you know, are the big businessmen in town's sons, you know, that are well-known in the community. But you know how that is sometimes in sports and schools, that they get to be get the positions in football and so on and so forth. Anyway, I'm telling my friend there, I said, man, I could go over there and beat every one of them on running the 400 meter. And I've said that many times when I see those guys run. I said, man, I could outrun all them guys. And anyway, my friend said, well, go over there, try out for it, go ahead. And so anyway, you know what, I'm going to go over there because I can beat them. I know I can beat them. So I go over there and ask the coach, hey, coach, can you know, you mind if I race, you know, with these guys? And yeah, sure, yeah, go ahead. You know, and so we did it, and I creamed them all. And my coach goes, Fry, where you been? Why didn't you tell me you could run? And I said, well, you didn't ask. I've been over there pole vaulting. Needless to say, I was on the mile relay team, and we went to state. So, but you got to psych yourself, and that's just like when we speak the word, you know, ourselves. You build up that confidence. You get it down in your spirit, believing that you can. You know, just like the little engine, I think I can, you know. Amen. So that's one of the things. Number two, when we speak in God's word and saying what he says, as we know, it releases our faith, you know. Faith without works, you know. It's part of releasing our faith when we speak God's word. We've already seen there in Mark 11:23, very, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says come to pass, and have whatever he says. So when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Matthew 9:21, you know, that's where the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she said, it says there that she said within herself, man, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be whole. And that's exactly what she did. And Jesus told her, he says, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. And there's numerous. I mean, I could talk all night probably of different, different situations there. But we're going to go on to number three. What it does, faith. When we speak God's word, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, it will make the devil flee. You know, we see in Matthew chapter 4, you know, where Jesus was taken up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And the devil, you know, goes after him and says, you know, if you be the Son of God, blah, blah, blah. You know. But Jesus, what did Jesus do each time? It is written. He quoted the word. It is written. You ever think about it, you know, when we are speaking the word and quoting the word, and who we're actually talking to? You know, God knows what we need. We're putting the devil on notice. We're telling him and putting him in his place. You know, I'm going to share this, whether Deb likes it or not. I didn't tell her. But she was just telling me here just the other day, night, you know, she's having in her sleep. And she felt, you know, just listening, it's just this real heaviness of the spirit, and just felt awful. And so she started speaking the word, telling the word. You know, we need to declare the devils. Say, hey, she said, you are a defeated foe. You are under my feet. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. So we just need to declare to him. And she said, you know, after she did that, speaking that word, it just left. And just had that peace. Just same way with Jesus, you know, the devil fled, he left. And the angels came and ministered to him. So sometimes, you know, we just need to shout at the devil. Shout. That's an AC/DC, isn't that AC/DC song? Shout at the devil, yeah. We need to declare the word, speak the word, and he will flee. So, it's all well said and done, you know. We need to quote the word, we need to speak the word, you know, get it down in us, believe in it. But, you know, that's the number one thing, that you got to have it in you. You got to get it down in you. If we're going to speak his word, first we got to get that down in our heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, it tells us. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you're feeding yourself a bunch of junk, if you got the TV on, watching the news, and getting all the bad reports out there, and what's the first thing? What's going to come out of your mouth? It's going to be doubt, unbelief, all the things that the news media is saying, and not what God's saying. So we got to guard our hearts. Sometimes you just need to turn that thing off. You got to not listen to maybe some of your friends, so-called friends that are telling you you're in a bad situation. Oh no, gosh. I don't know about that, you know. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night. So, you know, we got to spend time, whether it's be in prayer, you got to pick up your Bible, open it up, and read it. I know we're all busy life. I'm preaching to myself, as a matter of fact, tonight, guys, because, you know, I understand, I get it. I've been crazy busy at work, and sometimes it's just really hard to, you think, you know, to spend time with the Lord, but you just got to make time. Whether it be, you know, if you don't think you got any time, hey, find 10 minutes at least. Find some time and fit it in your schedule some way or another. You know, I always... you know, I try to get up early enough where I can spend time a little bit, but it's usually not a lot because I get up real early. But, you know, one thing I do, I'm always praying in the Spirit whenever I can, you know, on the way to work and even while I'm at work. You know, that's something you can do within your breath and when people aren't around. But I just want to encourage you, though, to definitely get in His Word, you know, turn off the TV sometimes or just make time for them, because you need it in you so it's going to come out of you. And we see here, it is a spiritual law. You got to believe. You got to get it down in your spirit, man. Because you can speak things out of your head, knowledge, and you wonder, why isn't this happening? Because you really don't believe it. You think you believe it. I mean, you mentally, you think, you know, it works. But and then something else, sometimes you think, well, we know it works because I've seen it happen in this person's life, but is it going to happen for me? Yeah, it will. If you only believe and release your faith. He's a good God, and his word does not come away void. And don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen to suddenly. Because, like I say, sometimes it takes a while, but just keep believing, keep speaking the word. You know, Jesus, while he was on the word on earth, he never spoke the circumstances. He always spoke the end result. He always spoke what the Father said. And what he did, he got results. He always got results. I never seen it where he said, it didn't happen. The only way it didn't work is when people had their unbelief. They didn't believe. So what are we saying? What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? So I just encourage you to just, you know, when he was down there at Rhema, we had the word police. You know, if you said something wrong, oh, you shouldn't say that. That they come up to you, oh, that's a bad confession. You know. But we do need to check ourselves, you know, sometimes and what we are saying. And I'm guilty sometimes. Because, you know, you get to the place and you think it's not happening and that something slips out of your mouth. But sometimes, like I say, you don't really believe it. It's those things that you believe to get down in your spirit and speak out is going to get you the results. So be careful, because, like I say, you're either going to give a good report or a bad report. You're going to get good results or you're going to get bad results. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of it? That's about all I got for you tonight. It's, I guess it is a little less than. We almost got our hour of power tonight. So, well, God bless you. Have a good week. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. And, oh, we're supposed to pray about no rain tonight, because I want a fire tonight. I'm out camping. The last two nights we cannot have a campfire. We are going to have a campfire tonight. I declare it in the name of Jesus.
I agree.
Amen. Stand in agreement with it. God bless you, everybody.